Right, the Cabinet today, a relatively short formal agenda. We have authorised officials to start talks with Canada on negotiating an update of the air service agreement. We have quite an old one, but it appears there might be more interest in direct services between the two countries now, so time to have a look at the air services agreement. And there will also be an announcement coming from Annette King about the successful outcome of negotiation with Australia on mutual recognition of aviation-related certification. The Cabinet was followed by a Cabinet Business Committee meeting with the agenda starting to build for the year and starting to discuss approaches to issues like the Auckland Government's proposals, which came at the end of last year. Coming up this week, which I appear to have left behind in the office, so I can't brief you on, I'm sorry. So I will take questions.
John Key's Beach Farm, what do you do about
that? Well, I think it's best summed up under the label softer words, same old message and policy. It's a little hard to take the speech very seriously. A lot of slogans, but strange time to be making a speech about an emerging underclass when you could say the underclass is demonstrably diminishing in size if we're to measure by numbers in work, numbers on benefits, numbers achieving in education, and so on. So out of time and dated policies would be my impression.
It was touted that he would present some solutions. He's mentioned some issues like no parole for repeat violent offenders and better nutrition for children and to get them to play in the sport. What do you think of those solutions?
Well, firstly, on nutrition for children and more sport, that's exactly what the multi-million dollar initiative called Mission On, released by the government last year, is about. We're very concerned about the growth in the rate of obesity and related illnesses like diabetes, and there's a big initiative to get our kids more active and get people eating better. So that is being acted on. With respect to parole, we did announce changes last year in the effective interventions initiatives, and there's legislation before Parliament which to use Geoffrey Palmer's phrase, take us closer to more truth in sentencing, so that sentence bears a closer resemblance to the sentence actually handed down.
Do you believe there is actually a growing underclass?
And what is
underclass?
I don't. I think it's diminishing because of the extraordinary success in getting people back to work. That's partly a function of the fact that we've had 7 years of, on average, reasonably good growth under our government, but also a very, very proactive approach by the Department of Work and Income. And I believe that they go the extra mile working with community organisations to really zero in on what have been quite long-term disadvantaged groups, and the numbers in those groups are falling.
On things like the sport and nutrition, he seems to be indicating you'd have more private sector involvement in running those sorts of programs rather than government. Is that a logical approach?
Well, I think that betrays a complete ignorance about the way in which so many social policy programs are delivered these days. Our government actually invented the portfolio of Minister for Community and Voluntary Services. Out through the social policy area, so much is actually delivered through the NGO sector, the community sector, the churches, sports groups. There are so many contracts that actually can make for some headlines from time to time when one contract falls over, but overwhelmingly the story of childhood and family, the story of MSD, the story of health, the story in areas of education is a very close collaboration with the community sector, and that's the way it should be, and it is.
He's accused Labor of basically just throwing money at the problem and not getting alongside community agencies, so do you think that Labor doesn't really understand what these people need?
No, I don't think there's any substance to that at all. I couldn't even take it seriously. We've got a long-term record of working with the community sector and trying to ensure that they are resourced for the work that they take on in the public interest.
Do you agree with Winston Peters that there's a growing sort of tendency to lash out against the Americans and the Australians in New Zealand?
Well, I understand that Winston's speech tonight is largely centred around foreign policy issues, but I haven't had a chance to do more than simply glance at it, so I wouldn't want to comment on anything that he's been quoted as saying because I haven't had the time to look at it properly. I think with respect to Australia, there's always been healthy rivalry. We are each other's best mates, but keenest rivals as well, and I don't think that necessarily adds up to an anti-Aussie sentiment. It just means that we are fiercely competitive, and we're the smaller country and they're the bigger one, so there'll always be a bit of chippiness about that. With respect to the US, fundamentally there's a very, very good relationship. Now, the US is the world's only superpower, so what the US does and says often becomes the subject of public debate in countries far from its shores like our own, and indeed worldwide. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that Americans and New Zealanders both live in democracies, share similar kinds of institutions, values, ways of life. And again, you know, you might get a bit of the chipping that you get between friends, but I don't think fundamentally there's a big issue.
You don't think we're imperiling our relationship with either country?
Oh, no, certainly not, but nor would you want it to. I mean, I think it's perfectly fair to make the point that anti-Americanism, anti-Australian attitudes just aren't helpful to anybody when you're talking about countries to whom we've traditionally been very close.
On the issue of Philip Beale, are you concerned that he's expressed annoyance, I guess, with the way the inquiry is being handled and said that he won't cooperate any further with the police?
Well, obviously he and his lawyers should be working with the police so they can bring their inquiries to a head, and one would expect them.
Have you had a conversation with him
today? No, I haven't.
Linda Woodcroft says that he was working for 15 months without final pay for the field. I mean, that seems even longer period than we were probably aware of.
Look, I've really no idea. I haven't seen her material on TV. I've no idea. Don't think it's helpful to comment, particularly not when she's apparently proposing to start litigation.
Will you be speaking with Mr. Field to pass on your view that he should be?
No, Mr. Field is communicated with through the Labour Whip.
Does his attitude, though, make it even more unlikely that he can remain with Labour or stand again as a candidate for Labour?
I've made it clear that I think his standing again as a candidate is extremely unlikely.
How about the local council?
I think their attitude's been pretty much that of the Labour caucus, that we need to see where this police investigation leads.
Have you had any briefing on the timeline of the investigation?
No, I haven't, and I think it's very important that I'm not briefed on it. I think the police must be free to do their job.
Have you got any concerns for the welfare of Miriam Shafiq, the young Christchurch girl who's in jail in Dubai on drugs charges, and do you think MFAT have been doing enough to help her out?
Well, firstly, I'm always very concerned when a Kiwi is picked up in another country on drugs charges. There are countries where drugs charges carry extremely serious penalties, up to and including death. So the clear message is that no one should ever put themselves in such a position. Now, with respect to the particular young woman, I have got the brief from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade on it, and I understand they're extending all the consular assistance they normally would extend to her.
Her family don't seem satisfied, though. Would you have any words for them?
Well, I can understand that her family would be extremely concerned and worried. It seems that her father was with her at the airport. He has since come home, and any family in that position would be extremely worried. particularly leaving someone behind in detention of that kind. But as I say, the advice I have is that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade is doing all that it can and should do through its normal consular work.
Winston Pings in a speech says that a friend by Marama would have resigned as military post and a contested win an election, he'd be recognised by the international community. Does that sort of mean that all sanctions and travel bans against him would be dropped by him?
Well, our bottom line's been there has to be a return to constitutional government. And of course, there need to be elections. There need to be free and fair elections in New Zealand. Among others, would be wanting to send the observers to see that they were. The Commonwealth certainly would be. And of course, the issue of visa and travel bans, you would revisit in the light of whatever information there was. It's fair to say we still do have some people subject to such visa and travel bans from the year 2000, Kevin.
So would he, were he elected the Prime Minister, be able to travel?
Well, we'd have to cross that bridge when we came to it, but sadly we're some way off it. The last utterance on the subject from that quarter was that elections could be 4 to 5 years away.
Okay.